2 Peter chapter 3. I hope you read your Bible. I hope you study your Bible. Because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. If you watch the news every day, and you read the newspapers every day, and you listen to news on the radio every day, you're going to be depressed. You really are. And we're at that time in our world and in our country where we're really looking for hope. We had a president one time that promised hope and change, but it was, didn't happen. So I want to take the Word of God and I want to show you where my hope is.
Amen.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and His blood and righteousness. And so I want to talk to you today about a new world that's coming. Now, I kind of talked a little bit Wednesday night about this. We might have revival Wednesday night. I got off my track and into my sermon today. We about have revival Wednesday night. So I want you to listen real close. And I want you to know there's a new world coming. And this is not the best we're going to have it. And we talk about heaven, there's something even better coming. Now, there's a new world coming. So look at 2 Peter chapter 3. We're going to read a lengthy passage, so stick with me, okay? This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Now he's talking to God's people, reminding them, okay, about some things. That ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, or died, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overwhelmed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as a day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy? Underline that holy. You don't hear that much anymore. In all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. I like that. I like that. That boy, that just thrills me to read that. Amen? Amen. I hope you carry a Bible. I hope you brought one today. You know, we ought to impress upon our children the importance of the Word of God by bringing it to church so they can follow the preacher. Because there's a lot of preachers that are misleading people. And you adults, you ought to carry your Bible to church. You'll open it up, follow the preacher, whoever's preaching. Make sure he's preaching you the truth, because there's a lot of deception going on today that we live in.
Amen.
And I'm not here to beat you up. I'm here to lift you up. But most of all, I'm here to help you, okay? And so as we look at this passage of Scripture, we see there's a new world coming. Now, the present world that we live in, they even believe there needs to be a new world coming. I mean, just look at television, all these new TV shows and science fiction, all those things. All of them predict a new world coming. But usually it's a gloom and doom world. It's a death and destruction world. It's a survival of the fittest type world that this world looks at, because that's the way they are. They're full of hate and envy and lust and greed. But the Bible talks about a brand new world coming. Now, I know we talk about heaven and all that, and that's wonderful. We're going to heaven, and I'm going to have me a mansion. And you take that new, not inspired version, that NIV, where it says, "In my Father's house are many rooms." You throw that thing away and get you a Bible. "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I'd have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." And He's not fixing me a room. He's fixing me a mansion, bless God. Amen. I've been rich and I've been poor, and I look forward to the mansion. But the world doesn't see it that way. The world sees that at the end of your life, there's just death, and that's it. You're destroyed. And the world doesn't see that there's a God in heaven. They think they're in control, and they think that they can mold and make the future however they want to. And I've got news for you. They are deadly deceived, and they're following the wrong people. The Word of God says that there's going to be a new world. Now, let me rehearse a little bit what I said Wednesday night in order to get you up to date. First, the trumpet's going to sound. And the dead in Christ are going to rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And we call that the rapture. That's not in the Bible, but that's what it means, to be called away, that word rapture. And so the rapture will occur, and then for 7 years on planet Earth, there's going to be hell on Earth. Hell itself will be emptied out. The demons and the devils of hell will attack mankind on Earth. The Earth will be deceived. Hardly anybody will be saved. Most will not, but there'll be 7 years of, the Bible calls it, tribulation, mostly for Israel's sake. And then at the end of that, hey, why, during that 7 years, the saints, we got called up, we're in heaven, we'll go to the judgment seat of Christ, we'll get all that out of the way. Some will be saved and receive great rewards. Others who are saved will be saved yet so as by fire. Their works will be burned up, but they'll still be saved. They believed on Christ, and that was the common denominator. And so while we're being judged for rewards or loss of reward, we're all going to heaven. And after that's all over, there's going to be a great supper, he said. And we're going to the marriage supper of the Lamb. The marriage supper of the Lamb. And I always kid Brother Rick on that. I say, "Brother Rick, you're 6'4". You probably weigh about 225 pounds. You're going to be a pretty bride, brother." Going to be a pretty bride. All of us will be. We'll be a pretty bride. And so we'll go to the marriage supper of the Lamb, and we'll celebrate while on earth those 7 years. They're suffering. We celebrate. At the end of that 7 years, He's coming back again. And He's going to rule and reign for 1,000 years. He's going to come riding a white horse. His sash is going to say, "Lord of Lords and King of Kings." His vestment will be dipped in His own blood to show that He paid for it. And He'll come back, and we'll come back with Him, and we'll rule and reign for 1,000 years on planet Earth. And I said Wednesday night, I want the rod. He's going to rule with a rod of iron. He's going to make people do right. And old devil and his crowd's going to be cast down in there to the bottomless pit during that 1,000 years. And they're going to be suffering while we're ruling with Christ. And I want Lancaster, South Carolina. That's where I grew up. I know where all the crooks are. I know where the dope dealers are and the bootleggers are. And I want to take that rod and go down there and, like they say on the street, I want to bust some things up. Amen. I'm going to do that. And you say, "Well, preacher, I won't do that." Well, you're not floating around on some little old stinking cloud playing a little harp. You're going to rule and reign with Christ. And then at the end of that 1,000 years, the Bible says He's going to loose the old devil, old slew foot, old smutty face. He's going to loose him for a season. We don't know what a season is. We don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. It might be a year. It might be a week. It might be 100 years. I don't know how many years. And He's going to be loosed on planet Earth to tempt those who were born during that 1,000-year reign of Christ, because they've not yet been tempted, so they can't say they're followers of Christ by faith. They were only made to follow Him, so they'll get to have a choice whether or not they want to follow Christ. At the end of that season, listen, the heavens are going to be rolled back like a scroll.
Now get that picture. We just read it. And they're going to melt with a fervent heat. All those planets, all that stuff out there is going to melt with a fervent heat. And Jupiter and Mars and all that, you know, and it's going to be gone. And mankind's going to be standing out there before the great white throne judgment of God. And God's going to judge the wicked then, see. They've not been judged yet. They were in hell, but they wasn't judged. Because God's righteous, He's going to mete out punishment according to deeds, but they're all going to burn, but there's going to be more punishment for the ones that were worse than others because God's just and He's holy. The same way He rewards righteousness, He rewards unrighteousness too. And so God's going to judge them, and that's the great white throne judgment. That's the great white throne judgment. And we're going to be behind the great white throne judgment. And all the lost world resurrected is going to be in front of the great. And you say, well, that's going to take forever. Well, in heaven, there's no time. A thousand years is as a day, and a day is a thousand years. What difference does it make? You know. And God will judge those people. And then when all that judgment's over, and all the lost and the wicked are cast into the lake of fire, hell and death will be cast into the lake of fire, then He'll make a new heaven and a new earth, wherein, in another place, He says, dwelleth righteousness. And there'll be no more sin. Amen. There'll be no more sickness. There'll be no more sinners. It'll all be saints. And that's what Peter is saying. Let me remind you. Let me put you in remembrance of this. Y'all need to remember this. And today, so my job today is to put you in remembrance of this. Now, I know if you turn on TV, the preacher's going to tell you how to name it and claim it. And I know he's going to tell you how to get rich and be successful. And that does him real good because when he sells that book, he makes money and he gets rich and successful. I know he's going to say some CDs and some videos and all that says 10 steps to riches. And the only person getting rich off that's him, you know. A guy wrote a book back in, it was like 1989 or something, said Jesus was coming September the 7th or something like that, and he had all these scriptures and stuff put the way he wanted them. And you know what? Jesus forgot to come back. But you know who got rich off of that? The guy that wrote the book. You ain't heard nothing from him since. It's not because he's ashamed. He's bought an island somewhere in Aruba or something. He's living it up on all these people's money that were dumb enough to buy a book and not read the Bible. Amen. Well, preacher, that's me. No, that's truth. That's truth. So Peter says, I want to remind you of something. There's going to be a new world coming. Now, he mentions three worlds in this passage. Number one, if you look at verse 3, are y'all hot? Go turn the air down two more degrees. When we shut that door, that happens. That's where the thermostat is. But in chapter 3, and by the way, we got enough money to build a building. I forgot to tell y'all we're going to build a new building. Did I tell y'all we're going to build a new building? Did I tell you we got the money? Yeah, y'all still sitting on it. You need to put it in the building fund. But it is hot, I understand. 2 Peter chapter 3, look at verse 3. In verse 3, he says this, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? Look at this, underline it. For since the fathers fell asleep, since they died, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Now, he says, but they're willingly ignorant of this one thing. Look at verse 5. They're willingly ignorant of that by the word of God the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. He said, there's been another world here before. He said, there's been a past world, and all of these people mock us when we talk about the second coming of Christ or the end of the world. He said, they're willingly ignorant of this one thing, that there used to be another world before the world that we live in today. Not planet, the world system. He said, there was another one. And they're willingly ignorant of that world was made and it's covered with oil, water, and then God divided the earth from the water and He made planet earth and then the world was populated. And what happened to that world? It was flooded, according to Genesis 6. It was flooded. He created it. He spoke it. It came out of nothing and became something. Amen? Amen. A fellow told me one day, he said, well, I believe in the Big Bang theory. He said, one day there was a big bang out there and nothing, and it created all this. I said, you got more faith than I do. I said, I believe in the big God theory. He spoke it and it came into being. Amen. It didn't bump into something and that bump into something and that bump into something. And here we are. I mean, that takes a lot of faith. Actually, that takes a lot of ignorance to believe something like that, no matter how educated you might be. But God spoke it, and it came to existence. Now, if you're wrong about the origin of the world in the first place, you're probably wrong about the new world that's coming.
Amen.
Would you say amen to that? I mean, if you don't believe that God created the heavens and the earth and that God made the night and the day and that God took up a handful of dirt and made a man and named him Adam and that God took a rib out of that man to make him a wife and the way he named him, he woke him up and said, Adam, let me show you what I made for you. And he looked over and said, whoa, man. He made a woman. You fellas, you better laugh at that. Your wife's sitting right next to you. Look, if you're ignorant of those things, then you're certainly ignorant of the world that is to come. There's a new world coming. There was one, and because of sin in Genesis chapter 6, the Bible says God saw that their thoughts and their intents and everything they did in their mind was on evil continually. So the world was corrupted. And then God called one man and said that Noah was a righteous man. So God called him and told him to go preach to him. The end's coming. I'm going to rain. It's going to wash it away. Everything's going to die. You need to repent. You need to get saved. And he had no converts. And they mocked him, I'm sure. They made fun of him, I'm sure. And he built this big old boat. And there wasn't even any lake around. And they'd never seen rain. And he built this big old boat. Don't you think he got a lot of persecution? But when the rain began to fall, I bet you some minds changed. But it was too late. And that's the day we live in. We say Jesus is coming. There's a new world coming. The God that spoke the first one into existence is now going to have to recreate it because we've gotten back to the point where man's mind is on evil continually. You know, I remember the first time I heard a curse word on television. My kids were little. I was astounded. Now I go in people's houses to talk to them, witness to them, or whatever, and they'll be playing TV programs where there's profanity just blasting, and the little kids sitting there watching.
Yeah.
I mean, we're living in an evil time.
Yes, we are.
Where right is wrong and wrong is right.
Yeah.
It's all been twisted and turned. And look, that's not the first time it's happened. It's happened before. And finally, God got fed up with it, and He destroyed that world. You see, our problem, not our problem, but the unbeliever's problem is, and some believers maybe too, you think that God's some kind of Santa Claus or something. He's some docile old man that sits up there on the throne just waiting to give you your every desire and your every wish, and God's not like that. God's holy. God's pure. God's perfect. God can't even look on sin. And that's why we couldn't go to heaven unless we go through His blessed Son who never sinned. And He died in our place. And then we claim His precious blood. And He makes us as if we are sinless, justified, sanctified, sinless. And now the world's gotten to the same condition. It was a corrupted world. People are going about business just like God didn't even exist. It didn't even exist. It says before the flood came, they were buying and selling. They were marrying and giving in marriage. You know what that's meaning? Everyday life. Ignored the man of God. Ignored the word of God. Ignored the coming judgment of God. And just went about their business in their corruptible, sinful ways. They continued going on. And now you come along, you say that's going to happen, and they mock you and they say, hey, we've heard this ever since the fathers fell asleep. Ever since the Old Testament people died, we've heard this stuff. It hadn't come yet. Where is this coming? And I say, you just fulfilled prophecy by saying that. You just told me it's a little bit closer today than it was yesterday. Amen. And you say, well, it's been 2017 years since Jesus went back up to glory. Where's he at? And he says, because of God's long suffering, not willing that any should perish, he held on. And I believe right now, because of the long suffering of God and his love for sinners, he's not come back yet. But finally, one day in Genesis chapter 6, the rain came. It fell. Have you ever tried to get a picture of this stuff? Some of you ought to turn off TV and videos and your stupid phone and all that stuff. You ought to turn that off every once in a while and read the Bible and try to get a picture in your mind. Can you imagine those people that mocked him and made fun of him and where's he at? And boy, we've heard about this and now the rain's falling. They'd never seen rain. They thought, oh, well, rain, big deal. And they probably had some global warming people explain it, you know. And it'll be all right. Just a little water. And then that water got up two inches deep, and then 2 foot deep, and then I imagine by 3 foot deep, they began to worry, don't you? And they ran over there, that big old giant of an ark, men began to beat on the sides and scream and holler, and let me in. I thought you was a Christian. I thought you loved people. Let us in. And knowing them, the Bible says God shut the door. Noah didn't shut the door. God shut the door.
Amen.
And hey, if God shuts it, can't anybody else open it but God? And God didn't open the door. And those that had mocked it, now they're screaming and hollering and looking for a Savior and looking for the faith that Noah had. And it was too late. God washed the whole world away. Now, we went to school and they told us that those seashells were on top of the mountain because of evolution and all this stuff. Those seashells are up there in the mountains. You can find seashells. Did you know that? It's because it was covered with water one day. It's not because of evolution. It's because God covered the whole earth with water. And then there's some unbelieving religious teachers, you know, say it was only a certain part of the world. No, sir. The Bible says the whole world was covered. God washed it all away. He gave the earth a bath. Amen? They all died. Every one of them. You say, well, that's mean. No, what's mean is not trusting the God that created you and loved you and depending on Him. So God said, that's it, I'm done. And He washed them all away. And then the water went down. And it started over with eight people. You say, ain't no way eight people could produce this many people. You ain't never seen rabbits. You ain't never had a cat. They produce. But you know what? There was a world. They had normal lives, they thought, until God condemned it and swept it all away. Now he talked about the present world. Look at chapter 3, verse 7, 10, and 11. Verse 7, he says, but the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store. You see that? That's who keeps this world. Reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. In other words, God's got a date, a reservation. He's saving it. Now skip down to verse 10 and 11. In verse 10 he says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. How's a thief come? Nobody knows. He's going to come. In the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements and shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation? That means lifestyle and godliness. That means being like God. Now, the present world that we're in, people are going about their business. They're marrying. They're giving in marriage. And they're making fun of us. They're mocking us, you know. And they've got their own savior, some guru, some guy over in India sitting up on a mountaintop, you know, in a diaper. And he's sitting up there going, you know. And they're going to look to him for all their answers. And they're going to die and go to hell. They're looking at some big CEO, not pastor, some big CEO of a gigantic mega church who's living it up, man. He's having a good time. He's telling all of them they can do the same thing. And let's don't preach this doom and gloom. And let's don't preach about hell. And let's don't tell people about the judgment of God. Let's don't mention sin. We'll just change our music to fit them. That'll make them come. And then we'll change our dress to fit them. And that'll make them feel felt comfortable, and then we'll change our preaching and teaching to fit them. That way they'll stay, and they'll give lots of offerings, and they'll stay.
Amen.
And they're dying and going to hell while the church whistles. I don't know what they're doing. But God's got a day.
Yes, He has.
And there's a reservation made. And all the mega church preachers and all the deceivers and the liars and the crooks and the false prophets and the false religions on planet Earth will not change not 1 minute of that date.
That's right.
It's reserved, and it's reserved for fire.
Amen.
Now, He flooded first time. This time, He's taken man completely off the earth. He renewed it the first time by leaving 8 people here to repopulate. This time, everybody's going off planet Earth, and He's going to burn up that sin and that sinful way of living and that ungodliness and greed and hate and envy and lust. He's just going to burn it all up, melt it. When I was a kid, in the 50s and 60s, I was born in 54, and as we went to school, in elementary school, I remember with the Cold War and the Russians and the Cubans and all that stuff, sometimes they would sound a bell and we'd all have to hide under our desk and do this. Now I look back on that. Wouldn't that look real nice when that bomb dropped and there's a little old melted boy sitting down there all melted like that? That wasn't going to help nothing. That wasn't going to help nothing. And then they had fallout shelters and bomb shelters. They said they did. And you probably go to your local post office, still find one in the basement. That's where most of them were, in the basement of the local post office. You'd see the entrance to the basement. They'd have that nuclear sign up there. And they'd have enough food and water in there for 10 or 15 people, you know, to live 100 days. That wouldn't be a drop in the bucket. But see, the world knows something's coming. They just don't want God in on it.
Yeah.
See, if God gets in on it, then you can't do anything about it.
Amen.
But if you put man completely in charge and put him in, then he can survive. And he can, the survival of the fittest, you know, and all that stuff. We're going to kill the zombies and all that junk. You let your kids watch that stuff. You need to go to the doctor.
Come on now, yeah.
Zombies. I see a bunch of zombies.
Amen.
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 Ephesians chapter 2, ye who were dead in trespasses and sin, now hath He quickened. Amen? You used to be a walking dead man, but you're alive now in Christ by getting born again. Amen? I preached a sermon on that one time. The movie come out, Sixth Sense. I watched that thing. I said, my goodness, I can make a sermon out of that. I see dead people. I did. I preached a sermon on that. I see dead people. And the little boy said, I see dead people. And he said, they don't know they're dead.
Amen.
Ephesians chapter 2. And he said, the bad thing is they want me to help them.
Amen.
Man, how to preach. How to preach. But see, the world doesn't want to admit this is going to melt. And if you're on it, this is going to melt. And the world, look, the world can't make a bomb that powerful. Now that guy over in Korea, he might could blow up some big cities, but he can't blow up the whole world.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
Now, real quick. In this present world, there's a scoffing society. They make fun of us. And by the way, I know I'm preaching on kids and stuff a lot today, but if you let your kids and your grandkids watch some of these TV programs where there's little children on there that are irreverent and they're smart-mouthed, you need a whipping. Then you get mad at them when they talk back to you. Amen. And these fake family shows, two men and babies, two women and babies. Don't get quiet on me now. Well, preacher, you're a homophobe. You're a sexist. You're a bigot. You're a fanatic. You're an extremist. Amen. Every bit of it. Amen. Because the Bible is. And I'm not against them. I'm against what they're doing. But you let your kids watch that stuff, and then you wonder why they have to show up at school counselor's office once a week. That don't cost you nothing. That's not even in my notes. I just kind of put that over to the side. But we live in that kind of society where they mock us and they make fun of us and what we believe. Well, I've got news for you. There's more power in one word of a child of God than there is in all the bank accounts in the world.
Amen.
You know, the devil trembles at the weakest Christian on his knees. And the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. It'll divide you asunder, man. It'll cut you all to pieces. And it'll even go into the joints and the marrow. I've seen men in jail stand there and just weep and cry and shake under the power of the Holy God that I was talking about. They wasn't scared of me. They were scared of what was being said through the Word of God. And that same Word's going to destroy this earth. He's going to speak it, and it's going to melt. And the heavens are going to be rolled back like a scroll. You see, you and that TV preacher, you got a picture of Jesus at your house with blonde hair and blue eyes and a long dress. That matches this world's description of him. But I got news for you. The Bible says there's a sharp sword coming out of his mouth. And his eyes are his eyes of fire in judgment. And listen. That little old weak anemic Jesus that the world thinks of him as is not what he is. Hey, he's the creator of the universe. Colossians 1:16 says, by him were all things created. And by him all things consist. And so it's just natural to say, since he created it and it holds together, it consists by his power and his word. All he's got to do is speak that word and it'll unloose too. Present world's destined for fire. It's going to burn. You say, preacher, that makes you happy. No. People burn up and the world burn up. I'm not going to be in it when it happens. But all that happening to people does not give me great pleasure. Hey, that's why he says you need to remember to live a godly life and a holy life and care about people enough to witness to them and let them see your testimony in the way you walk and you talk. Another verse says that they might see the hope that's within you and ask why. Christians gotten so much like the world can't tell the difference between the Christian and not Christian.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, they dress like them, they sing like them, they walk like them, they talk, they go to the same places and all do all the same things. And then they show up at church on Sunday and give Jesus a little Jesus is my boyfriend song. Whatever happened to holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. Well, that's the present world, but thank God there's another world coming. Look at verse 12, chapter 3, verse 12. Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the Lord. Boy, we hurry up, Lord, come quickly is what he's saying. Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. He said, we're looking for something. We want it. We're desiring it. We're hastening. Lord, come quickly. I don't want him to put off his coming. I want it to happen.
Amen.
Verse 13, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Now, my kids are grown. Becky's sitting here. She's my middle daughter. I got one older and one younger. They're grown. But I've always looked at my children and thought, Lord, what are they going to inherit after I'm gone? Now I look at my grandchildren, I wonder, Lord, what's it going to be like for my grandchildren if you don't hurry up and get back?
Yeah.
I mean, now we've got people teaching little boys. They might be a little girl, and a little girl, she might be a little boy, and we got people. Now they're teaching, you may not be the one.
Yeah.
I read the other day, a man in England, it's kind of funny, but it's sad, he married his horse. In England, you can do that now. I know that sounds funny, but you know what? That's perverted. And I think about my grandchildren. What's it going to be like by the time they're 63 years old? And we've seen most of this in the past three generations.
Yeah.
Thank God there's a prospective world too, one that I look forward to. I want it to come. It's designed for the glory of God and that alone. It's not designed for man. This world was designed for man, that God put us down here and he said, be fruitful and multiply and you're in charge of all the animals and everything else. This is yours. But there's coming a world that's designed specifically for God and his presence. God can't come down here in all his presence. He's too holy. We'd all die.
Yeah.
But the new world, he's going to dwell among us. And it's going to be perfect and pure and holy. And the new world's designed for him, not humans. It won't be destroyed by flood. And it'll never be destroyed by fire. It will be forever. Now, I don't know about you, but I know this. If God's in it, it's going to have to be pure. I know God. I've been in a lot of churches where God was not invited and nothing happens. I've been around Christians that don't even acknowledge His presence. God doesn't show up in their life. But I've been in other little old churches that they acknowledge the power and the presence of a holy God, and God comes down in their church, and boy, you can feel His power and His presence, and you know He's there, and you'll weep and you'll cry and you'll shout. And I've seen people, man, I've been there. It's amazing what God can do with people when they get willing.
Yes.
Doesn't require a great education, doesn't require a lot of money, doesn't require great standing in the community. All it requires is to invite God Himself in there, in your home. Some of the best Christians I've ever known hardly owned anything. Rented little old mill houses. Some of your grandparents were godly people. Never owned anything. My mom has never owned. She's 98 years old, and she paid, as far as I can remember, she paid rent. Never owned a house. Never owned an automobile. God blessed her. We think about them great saints, those of you that came from up in the hills, Virginia, West Virginia, and I pick at you, I know, but I preach up there. There's some godly people up there living little old shacks. Their children grow up right. And they fear God, and their town's right. There's still some dry towns up there. Some of y'all don't even know what I mean by dry towns. There's a place up there that don't allow alcohol to be sold. Used to be like that around here. Because God was invited in there. God's at the county council meeting. God's at the city council meeting. God's down there at the schoolhouse. God's over there at the church. And when they go to church, they rejoice and praise God and invite Him to come in. When He comes in, He purifies. Our world don't want God right now. But He's coming. And when He gets here, He's going to purify. He said, well, what manner of person don't you to be? Manner means kind of person. He said in verse 11, we'll be holy people. He said in verse 12, we'll be anticipating people. We'll be looking for. He said in verse 15, it'll be soon. There's no way I can put into you the fear of God. Only God can do that.
Amen.
But as a Christian, you were supposed to already fear God.
Right, yeah.
And it should have changed your life.
Amen.
And so today I'm preaching mostly to Christians. Now if you're not saved today, you need to get in while you can, because it may start any day. The trumpet might sound, we might go out of here any minute. But if you are a Christian, is it not time we started looking up?
Amen. Yeah.
Is it not time we started living a holy life?
Come on now, yeah.
And anticipating His coming. When I got saved in 78, you'd hear a message like this about every Sunday. They forgot. These little old girls sitting up here. You know what? Most kids ain't never known to be in a church, in a church service where the power and the presence of Holy God came down. And people wept and they cried and they'd run to their children in the back and grab them and say, please don't go to hell. Come down here. Let's pray. Let's get you out of hell. This generation we're in now, the past two generations, Brother Jack, they don't know much about stuff like that. Where people that were mad at each other in the church, the Spirit of God would come in that Sunday and one would run to the other and say, let's get down on the altar before it's too late. Get this fixed before he gets back.
Amen.
Most of you have never been in a church where sinners ran down the aisle and fell on the altar and cried out loud, God, save me. I don't want to go to hell. Save me before it's too late. Trumpet's going to sound any minute.
Amen.
Then after that, one, it won't be long. The heavens will be rolled back. The earth will melt. Are you ready? Christian, you ready? Let's stand. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Nobody looking around.